You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
And your girl and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way left.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Severe weather awareness. Oh, each one of those words is so powerful. Welcome to our conversation today. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am so excited because I get to spend time with one of my favorite friends today and talk about something that will help families stay safe. Will you please introduce yourself to our friends who listen?
Hi, my name is Veronica Hanway Lee, and I am a proud mama and a geography PhD student.
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I've been looking forward to this conversation ever since we decided to have it because severe weather awareness seems like something all families need to know about, right?
Right.
So let's break it down. Let's start with the three words. Severe weather awareness. What does it mean?
Severe weather awareness means being aware of weather that could cause potential damage or loss of life or bodily harm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very powerful. That's very important. And so what kind of weather is that?
Oh, that's a good question. Those range anywhere from severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, or hurricanes.
Well, okay. Wow, those are all really extreme weather conditions, and so I think we better know a little more about them.
Sure. So I have some definitions here.
Great.
So what's a severe thunderstorm? So a severe thunderstorm is a thunderstorm that produces a tornado, winds of at least 58 miles per hour, and or hail, structural wind damage, and it can be very large. And a tornado is a violently rotating column of air, which is usually connected to cumulonimbus clouds, those big, poofy, cotton ball, spooky kind of clouds that are pretty gray in color. And those,
wow.
Those also come, they can come with large wind gusts and hail, and severe thunderstorms usually come with lightning and thunder.
Well, I really thank you for those definitions because I see now why it would be so important to understand severe weather and how it's so different than just weather. You know, you look outside and say, oh, it's raining today, but that's very different, it sounds like, than these thunderstorms and other storms.
Right.
Okay, so what do we need to know and do to protect ourselves in these kinds of weather conditions?
One of the biggest things is to be aware of or know what weather is coming your way. So paying attention to weather forecasts and staying informed if there is a tornado watch or a severe thunderstorm warning, and As a mama, I have made it very a point to teach my son about, okay, well, what is a severe thunderstorm watch? What is a tornado watch? And so when the National Weather Service here in the U.S. puts out a severe thunderstorm watch, that essentially means that we need to be prepared and that severe thunderstorms are possible within or near the watch area. And it's important to stay informed, be ready to act just in case there's a severe thunderstorm warning. And then with a severe thunderstorm warning, after you've already been prepared, it's important to take action. So that means severe weather has been reported by storm spotters or indicated by the weather radar. These warnings indicate potential danger or imminent danger to life and property. So you want to take shelter in a substantial building with electrical and plumbing. You want to get out of those mobile homes that can blow over in high wind and take shelter in a more sturdier building. And then with tornado watches, the definition is more of weather conditions could lead to a potential tornado. And you need to be prepared, know your safe location, what are you going to do, have an action plan, and be prepared to act quickly if a warning is issued. And then with a tornado warning, that means that a tornado has been spotted or indicated by the radar, or it means that a tornado is occurring or expected soon. So definitely get inside, stay inside, get into your safe spot, which can range from either your basement or an interior room in your house. If you're in an apartment building, you want to get down to the lowest floor of the apartment building. And then there's also these things called tornado emergencies, where this is a severe threat to human life and there's already been catastrophic damage and a confirmed violent tornado. So you want to get into those safe spots and stay in those safe spots until you've gotten the go-ahead to leave. And there are different ways of being notified with these tornado warnings. Many places, if they have the funding, they have those tornado sirens that go on, and they're meant to make you aware. And if they're not designed exactly to wake you up from your sleep. So some people can sleep. I mean, when I was younger, I slept through sirens. So I haven't woken up. But that's when it's important to either have a weather radio or a call and text alert system, where many counties in the U.S., you can sign up to get a phone call for any severe weather alerts.
Oh, boy, this is really helpful, and there's a lot to think about in what you're saying. There's two words that I've heard you say that sound really important, and we should probably help families with them, and the first one is prepared. What does it mean to be prepared for severe weather?
That's a good question. So this means you want to be weather ready. So check your forecast regularly through either the National Weather Service. I like to use National Weather Service because most of the weather apps get their data from the National Weather Service. And sign up for notifications like I discussed earlier, and find out how your county or community sends warnings. And another important thing is to create a communications plan. So who are you going to call if you're in the same town or the same location, but maybe they're across the street or in a different location, but the same city? You want to make sure that you have a family plan that includes an emergency meeting space. And you want to make sure that you have a safe room in your home, like a basement, storm cellar, interior room with no windows. And this is probably one of the most important things, is to practice your plan of action. Mm-hmm. So my family, and luckily we live in a place where they do 2 monthly testings of the sirens. Mm-hmm. So they do one during the day and one at night. And what we do when we hear those sirens is my family knows, okay, we are going to grab our helmets and have our home shoes on and our little go bag, and we go into where we need to, into our safe spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And another one, I know it's a little tricky with the ongoing pandemic, depending on people's health safety precautions, but also being able to help your neighbor if you're able to, where you can help your elders or people who can maybe not just run to their safe spot. Make sure that you have communication plans with them so that you can help them get to a safe spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much helpful information in what you just shared. As always, I am stunned and appreciative of your knowledge, truly. You are talking about several things that I think we all need to talk about, right? That prepared actually has some action steps. So let's make a shopping list, for example. Like, what should you have? I know people who, during tornado season, sleep in their sweats and leave their shoes by the bed, right? They're ready so that they can get up and put their shoes on and go wherever they need to have a safe space. So what are some things that we should have in our homes that would make us prepared for severe weather?
So there's some basics, and then I know that some of these things require a certain amount of money. So sometimes it's important to build up your tornado or severe weather kit over time, because some of these things can be expensive. So you'll want a backpack or a storage tub to hold all your supplies, helmets, bottled water, at least 1 gallon per person, non-perishable food. If that includes canned food, you'll want a can opener, a flashlight with extra batteries, a first aid kit with bandages, ointment, disinfectant wipes, hand sanitizer, tissues, toilet paper, and bags with ties, just in case. We can't control when our bodily functions happen, so being prepared for that. A paper and a pen to either take notes or play games, a sleeping bag or warm blanket, a wrench or pliers to turn off utilities if you're able to do that, personal hygiene items like a travel size deodorant or cotton swabs or feminine products. You'll want a whistle to signal for help just in case you get under the rubble. And you'll also want important documents like your identification, insurance information, banking, wills, and emergency reference materials like a first aid book and a battery-powered radio or NOAA radio. And if you have littles, you'll want some formula, diapers, baby food, and if you have pets, extra pet food. You'll also want a respirator mask just in case there's a lot of dust or gas leaks or anything like that, plastic sheeting or duct tape, and I already said can opener, cups and utensils, a change of clothes for each person in your home. So if you live in a cooler space, but surprise, there's a tornado, you'll want some warmer clothes or have temperature appropriate extra clothes. Also have a jacket, hat, gloves, closed-toed shoes, rain gear, some cash, paper towels, a fire extinguisher, cards or a game to take your mind off of the weather. And for kids, it's important for them to have something that gives them some comfort. So that could be like a stuffed animal or a toy or a book or some coloring items where they can color. And yeah, that's about it.
That's a great list. So far, you know, we always love to have action steps. And that is such a helpful action step. Thank you. Because I think a lot of us who might be surprised by severe weather will not even think of some of those things. So this is wonderful. Very helpful. Well, there's another word that you mentioned, and I want to talk about it. And there's so much great, great wisdom you're sharing with us. You said a safe space, a safe spot. And I think that's something, again, for prevention. We want to avoid families being shocked and surprised and scurrying around and trying to find someplace safe and trying to figure out what to do. You know, the time to talk about danger is when there isn't any. That's my granddaddy used to say. And so what do we do? What is our safe spot, our safe space? How do we find it and prepare it before anything happens?
So usually there are some places that have basements or crawl spaces. Those are the best. And if you don't have a basement or access to a crawl space, you can go to findyourtornadoshelter.com, I believe. And that will also have a tornado shelter. There's not tornado shelters everywhere. They're usually in Tornado Alley where a lot of tornadoes happen. If you don't have a basement or access to a storm shelter, the most interior room of your house on the lowest level, so no windows. You don't want to be near any windows, and make sure that the doors are closed, whether that's a closet. I know there are some people who have an interior bathroom, so they just pile their kids up in the tub with their helmets on and hang out in the bathroom until the storm happens. And the base, with the lowest level, if you're in an apartment building, it's important to get to know your neighbors, whether you feel like making them some cookies or some banana bread or what have you, and get to know them a little so that way, in case there's a storm and you need to get to a safe space, it's not awkward when you're knocking on their door asking, like, hey, can I get in? Can you help me? There's a tornado warning. That way you know your community and you can stay safe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, this is very wonderful to know because I see so much in the news lately, and it seems like we're having more tornadoes, right? Like we're seeing news stories of tornadoes in unusual places and more of them. Is that right?
Right. We are projected to have, It seems like ever since I started learning about weather and climate, that severe thunderstorms and tornado season have been occurring earlier. And as the climate warms up, we are definitely seeing more severe weather. And as the warmer temperatures shift northward, there are more, like you said, more tornadoes in odd places where there usually aren't any.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important because so often throughout the past, people could take comfort in certain things. You know, hurricanes don't happen here. Well, they certainly didn't in the western North Carolina mountains. But Hurricane Helene changed all that. And so it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, we don't have tornadoes around here. We don't have thunderstorms around here. We don't have hurricanes around here. Except in this day and age, I'm not sure we can say that, can we?
Right. Exactly.
So we should all be prepared, it sounds like, much, much more than maybe before. You know, maybe before, your area never had these things. And now all kinds of things are happening everywhere. What's the biggest difference between severe weather and a climate disaster? Like, we're hearing about things like hurricanes and tornadoes, but we're also hearing about wildfires and mudslides. What's the biggest difference?
I think the biggest difference between severe weather and disasters is the scale at which they occur. So disasters are usually, it's up to your personal understanding of what is disastrous. A disaster to me could not be considered a disaster to someone else. So disasters usually happen and impact a larger amount of people in a larger amount of space.
Well, that's a very good answer. Thank you. And I wonder, really, when we start talking about severe weather, we start talking about climate disasters, we start talking about anything that happens, if it affects you, it's a disaster. You know, even if, you know, it doesn't affect the whole world, if it's important to you, then it matters. And that's why prevention and preparation are so important. How do we talk to our children about these things? I mean, there's so much happening in the world today. Oh, my goodness. They have to be concerned about respiratory illnesses and school violence and just all kinds of things. And now here's something else. How do we talk to them in a sane and direct way?
That's something that's been on my mind a lot lately.
Yeah.
And my partner and I, we take the open and honest approach, but keep it age appropriate.
Sure.
If I'm talking to a toddler or a kindergartner, I don't want to scare them so much so that they become anxious when it's sunny outside. And it's important that they know what to do as well. It is so important. I think, at least growing up, I had really bad storm anxiety. I would hear those sirens and not know exactly what's going on. And then my mom and my other caregivers would be like, okay, well, we got to get down to the crawl space. But I didn't always understand why, but I knew, oh, the sirens are going off. That must be why. And I think it's important for our children to know what tornadoes are, what severe weather looks like. There are excellent resources on YouTube by the National Weather Service and NOAA, where if you have access to internet, you can show them. Just look up severe weather for kids or tornado for kids in the search bar. And I feel like that gives them a visual representation of what that is, and to know, like, my caregivers, my parents, their priority is to keep me safe. And also to give them some agency of, okay, I can be safe. So my child knows, okay, when the sirens go off, I grab the flashlight. Everything else my parents will get, but I grab the flashlight. And he also loves playing with flashlights.
Yeah. Mine too.
So also just giving them some agency and ownership of action steps that they can do. Whether it's grabbing their shoes, grabbing their helmet, grabbing a flashlight or a stuffed animal, letting them know that they can help their community too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I love what you're saying, because I think otherwise, if we're not prepared, if we don't have a plan, then we end up sort of snatching them out of the bed because the sirens are suddenly going off, and now we're dragging them downstairs. They don't really know what's going on, and we're, you know, get down there or whatever. We don't want that experience. We don't want to add trauma to something that's also traumatic. It's already traumatic, right? We don't want to add more trauma to it. And an emergency is only an emergency if you're not prepared. And so if you don't have... If you're ready, if you know how to do this, you've practiced, you have the drills, we know where the safe space is, you know. This is a wonderful memory that I have where we were really small children, and my dad was making a playroom for us in the basement, and we were painting it. And he said, oh, yes, this will be where your toys are, and this will be where your playroom is, and your friends can play, but it'll also be our safe space in a storm. And we're thinking, oh, we have a safe space in a storm. I didn't know what he's talking about, really, but I knew we had a safe space, and I knew that that's where we should go. So even if a storm happened, you know, we want our children to be prepared that even if something happens, that they can still go down the stairs and go into the basement, or they still know how. Like, even if someone else falls and can't get up, or God forbid, whatever, they can still make it to safety. And that is something really special that you're teaching, and I appreciate you for teaching it. So when we come back for break, what I'm going to ask you to do is simply give us a mini class. I mean, speak directly to our families and friends who listen and help us prepare and survive severe weather. We'll be right back.
And to come and save her, better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play, or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback. Providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presence, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
Wow, what a fascinating conversation we're having today, and that's all because of our guest who's here with us today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Hi, I am Veronica Hanway Lee, proud mama and geography PhD student.
I'm real
Thank
glad
you for
you're
having
here.
Me.
Oh, I'm thrilled that you're here. We learned so much from you when you taught geography and climate and weather to us in our homeschool co-op. And it helped us so much to understand the weather and what's going on and not just look at it as something that is unknown and dangerous and violent and mysterious, but what is our response to it? We can't change the weather, but we can prepare and have a response that prevents us from getting hurt or prevents things from being worse. And so I want to recommend a book to our families who are listening, and then we will let you share with us directly, but All About Weather, a first weather book for kids, and it's by Huda Harajili, and it's a very helpful book. It explains weather. It helps us to learn about weather, and I think if we know about weather, then we can respect weather, and that is how we get prepared, how we plan, how we know what we're going to do, and how we're going to do it. So I'm going to hand you the mic and just let you share directly with our friends who are listening how to prepare themselves, what to do, what they need to know in order to survive severe weather and be prepared.
All right. So the first important thing is to know what the weather forecast looks like. So you can go to National Weather Service online. And one thing that I like to do with my child is go to the Storm Prediction Center, where it gives you information on what does the severe weather forecast look like. That's also part of the National Weather Service. And you can see the outlooks. They give you a one-day outlook, two-day, three-day, and outwards. And that lets you know, okay, so maybe it's been sunny this week and really nice, but you know what? We're going to have some severe weather this weekend. So making sure that you have your tornado kit ready. And make sure that you have a safe space. So what does that look like? That can be a basement or crawl space or an indoor interior room of your house with no windows. I know that sometimes there isn't always a place that doesn't have windows. So I know some people put mattresses, they'll lift their mattress up and block the window from that. The other thing that's important is to understand what the difference is between a watch or a warning. So with my little, the way that we discuss it is, okay, so if it's a watch, you need to watch out for some weather. And if it's a warning, it means it's there, it's coming, be prepared. And another thing that is important is to go indoors. I know I totally am in awe of thunderstorms and the beautiful lightning that can light up the gorgeous clouds, but please stay indoors. If you can hear thunder, that means that you can potentially be struck by lightning. And lightning is hotter than the surface of the sun. It can reach up to 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So if you can hear it, you're likely within striking distance of the storm. Practice your emergency plan and make sure that you practice it enough to where if those sirens go off, you know what to do, your children know what to do. That means they grab their comfort thing, or you give them a task of like, okay, grabbing the flashlight, and then you grab the go bag or the go backpack or the tote and have that, and it's just automatic. So you practice it. When we first moved more into Tornado Alley, we practiced this weekly so that we it was just a habit. And now, like, when the sirens go off, we know, and we also continue to practice. So you want to make sure that even if it's winter, you want to practice, because weather can be unpredictable. And make sure that one thing that we didn't discuss earlier that I really wanted to touch on was flash floods. So a flash flood is where there's heavier, excessive rainfall in a short amount of time. And if there's a flash flood warning, you need to seek higher ground. And please do not go into the floodwaters. It only takes 6 inches of fast-moving water that can knock over an adult, even less for a child. 12 inches of fast-moving water can carry away a small car. 18 to 24 inches of fast-moving water can carry across SUVs, vans, trucks. If you see floodwaters, turn around. Do not go into that water. Do not walk into that water. There is so much sewage and chemicals and who knows what that can get into your skin and make you sick. So if there's a flood, and like, just stay out of that water. It's not safe to do that. And to remember that there's no place outdoors that is safe during a thunderstorm. No. Where you're going to go if you're at home, make sure you know your safe space. And if you're in a mobile home that was made before 1976, you'll want to seek a sturdier shelter. Don't try to outrun a tornado if you're in your car. Get out of the car, do not get under your vehicle, and avoid areas with many trees. Lay down in a gully or a ditch or a low spot, and make sure to just be prepared and have your children prepared. I think that's the most important thing, is to practice and stay informed of the weather. If you want to know what the weather is going to look like for you, check out spc.noaa.gov/product/outlook. They have those forecasts that can inform you what severe weather potential current watches or warnings. You can also access the NOAA weather radio there, look at storm reports. And what's also awesome about that website is they have educational information and lectures for adults and kids. Another thing, you can go, if you have access to internet, go to findyourtornadoshelter.com. And say you want to help the National Weather Service, they are definitely in need of citizen scientists. They have these things called spotter trainings. They're a little long, but they're so important, and they can go into more depth of what clouds look like, what the difference, the visual difference is between scud clouds and tornadoes. And that's at weather.gov/GID/spotter information. And they have some places have in-person training, but there are virtual trainings all over the country. And you can, and if they don't have one in your county, you can always attend a virtual one somewhere else. And then for weather radio, you can also access weather radio via that Storm Prediction Center, SPC, but the weather radio is weather.gov/NWR, and pick your county and make sure that you're prepared. You've practiced. I think that's the most important. And to know that you, like, the weather's always occurred, but making sure that you know what's coming and staying informed. Does that help?
Wow. That was amazing. Oh, my goodness. That is so helpful. Families, please sit down together and listen to this terrific presentation. I mean, this is a gift to us because we can listen to this together as a family. We can listen to it in our homeschools and in our classrooms and really have a unit on severe weather awareness, have discussions about it, prepare for it. You are a wonderful teacher.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, wow, that is such great information. And the way that you share it, too, I think is so important. You know, we don't feel panicked or stressed or you know, we are in danger in the midst of it. But when we're learning about it, we don't have to feel that way. We can learn and to take actions. And you've shown us what actions to take. Oh, that was great. That was really amazing. And I want to ask you a question that I think a lot of families will benefit from after the severe weather. You know, let's say there is a thunderstorm and we did all the right things and we took all the precautions. What do we do after the storm?
That is very important. So mm-hmm. you want, if you see downed power lines, treat them mm-hmm. as active. Do not touch mm-hmm. them. Be alert to fire hazards, gas, or oil leaks. Like I said again, do not walk into that standing water.
Mm-hmm.
Stay informed, listen to your local news or weather radio. Multiple rounds of thunderstorms can happen. And stay connected with your family or loved ones. See if they're okay. I know some people use social media to check that they're safe
yes.
from mm-hmm. severe weather. And then after the threat of tornadoes has ended, check to see if your property is damaged. So with closed-toed shoes, if there's no standing water, wear long pants, a long-sleeve shirt, respirator mask, and sturdy shoes. Check to see if there's anything that's damaged. Contact local authorities if you see downed power lines. Stay out of damaged buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that we're living in an age where there's a lot of scammers. So be aware
yes.
of
mm-hmm.
insurance scammers. And help your neighbor if you can, if you find that people are injured and you are properly trained, provide first aid to victims until emergency response teams come.
Mm-hmm. That's really important. Thank you. And please take this moment right now, families, friends who are listening, to update your first aid kit. Right, like make sure that everything in that it's full, that it has non-expired materials in it. Put some batteries in your flashlights if you have crank ones or solar generators or anything like that. This is a great moment to update all your safety as well. Make sure you're, that you have smoke detectors that have fresh batteries and are up to date, that you have the kinds of things that you would need in an emergency, but you don't want to wait until an emergency to update and make sure that they're functioning. But that first aid kit is really important. And please have one in your safe space, right? I mean, if you have a place where you're all going to go and be safe during the storm, make sure you do have a safe place and make sure you have first aid kits and some provisions and the things we've talked about in that space. Well, and please, please, resist the urge to go out and take pictures. I have a wonderful firefighter cousin, and he said that so many of the injuries that they see and the things that happen to people are because they're trying to get footage for social media. They decide to drive drive around and there's a flash flood, or they're recording themselves going out and there's downed tree limbs and one that's hanging by nothing. And so people get hurt, you know, using things unwisely. So please, please take our experts' advice to heart, because there are people who run right out, you know, we're going to take a picture of this down power line. No, you're not. Please stay safe and be safe, because that's more important than likes. Absolutely. Well, are there any things that we can do in the aftermath of the storms or severe weather that help our children spiritually and emotionally? You know, we want to keep them safe after the storm, but now that they've been through such a storm, and this really has happened, even if they've made it to the other side, we're thankful, we're grateful, but how do we comfort them that the world isn't constantly a dangerous, scary place?
You know, that's something that my partner and I just talked about. One mm-hmm. thing that we want to make sure that we do more of is have a conversation after, the day after the tornado warning, and ensure first to give them praises of like, oh, you did an excellent job grabbing that flashlight, following uh-huh. directions, and paying attention. And one thing that I like to do before, during the tornado warning and after is showing my son where the tornado is at, where the cell is on my phone. So there's a app that is called Radar Scope that my storm chaser friends use, where you can actually see the tornado cell, the storm cell, go in accordance to your location. So letting him look at the radar during and then after, showing, okay, there's no threat, the severe weather is done, and looking and discussing, hey, we are safe now. We don't have to be in our safe spot.
Uh-huh.
And also practicing some mindfulness or spiritual or praying, and just practicing gratitude of, thank goodness we're safe, our loved ones are safe, our stuffed animals are safe. And recognizing that we are, and you know, a lot of things happen with my storm chaser friends. Say it's sometimes it's just pure luck if a tornado doesn't hit your house. So showing gratitude and practicing. One thing that we do is a mindfulness practice where we do breathing exercises.
Very helpful.
So having those breathing exercises in his pocket where, hey, I'm feeling really anxious right now because there's a tornado warning. Practicing those breathing techniques after and before, that way when we're feeling anxious during the warning, it's not as intense and our body knows, okay, I'm feeling anxious, we're going to do some deep breathing.
That's really helpful. I love it, because it does take into account the very real fact that these are real things. I mean, you know, the aftermath of Hurricane Helene has been horrific, for example. And so we've all had to really pray and to use a lot of help to get over that kind of event, that kind of severe weather. And one of the things that we have done always with severe weather is to lean into our indigenous teachings and culture. You know, let's tell a story that tells us how we relate to these storms and how we think of them. And that helps a great deal too. And then to point out, you know, that you are safe now. Thank you for following directions and listening. Thank you for doing your part. Thank you for doing what we asked you to do. And that helps us to stay safe. Remember that. You know, when we do these things, it gives us a better chance of staying safe the next time there's severe weather. You're really a masterful teacher and educator, and you've taught us so much today. And I want to make sure that if there's anything else you want to share with us, you have a chance to do that.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I think it's important for people to know that we're not alone, whether we're isolating during the ongoing pandemic or just far away from our families. There is community with around us and within us. One of my friends says, like, I'm my own best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
recognizing, like, hey, another one of my friends does a lot of affirmations with their child. So saying, like, mm-hmm. you know, I am smart for being prepared.
Oh, yeah.
I am kind to myself and being kind to my community by helping myself and others. I think it's very important to recognize that you're brilliant. And even mm-hmm. just by listening to this podcast and you, Mama Dr. Dawn, like, you're brilliant for having this podcast and informing people. And it's really important for people to recognize that listening to this podcast is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And you are such a blessing to our family, to your listeners, to our co-ops and communities for having these important conversations. It's not everyone has conversations about severe weather. So thank you for doing that.
Mm. Well, thank you. I appreciate that so much. And I thank you for being willing to speak with us about this, because without your expertise, this conversation would certainly not be as effective or enlightening. I'm so thankful that we're able to have these kinds of conversations, because I believe they save lives. I really do. And I can point to people who didn't know what to do and just did something, and people who did know what to do and did that. And some of them survived by doing the, you know, wrong thing or just doing something, you know, by grace. But many more survived because they knew what to do and they did it. And I think we have to have these kinds of conversations with our families, our loved ones. And I encourage people to have them with our seniors, too. I think sometimes we think that because our grandparents and parents raised us and succeeded in that, that they know everything, or they already know. And so we're very conscientious about talking to our children about these things, but I think it's a great thing to say to our seniors also, you know, our grandmothers and grandfathers and elders. It's good to say to them, you know, this is the time of year when there's severe weather, and I'd love to listen to something with you. I have a podcast we can listen to together, or I'd like to share some things with you, or even do it for them. You know, get the things they need to be prepared and help them to be prepared. You know, we have to take care of one another at every level these days. You know, we are public health, and now we're kind of turning into the weather service, too. And we have to be ready to share these things that we're learning with other people and help them stay safe, because everyone is important. Our lives matter. We're in this together. All of our lives matter. And I really appreciate you taking the time to teach us about these things, and in such a wonderful way that we could understand and accept and act on and access, you know. And this is wonderful. Really, this conversation is a great blessing. And I thank you for being willing to have it.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All of our friends who listen, we love you. We appreciate you. We appreciate our sponsors and our donors. You know, every month we have to have a miracle to stay on the air, and every month we do. And it's because of all of you who listen, who share, the platforms, the donors, the sponsors, the engineer, producer, the people who make this possible for us to have these kinds of conversations. You know, conversations save lives. They really do. Every great thing that ever happens in life starts with a conversation. Everything is a conversation. And these conversations are precious to us, and so are all of you who listen. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait till we're all together next time. I'll see you then.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.